Well, thanks, Cecil. I hope I can do as good a job next year as you did this year. And Kelly Thorpe that just spoke did a lot more complicated speed up or computing than I'm going to talk about here. So I try to keep this simple and see how that goes. I'm going to talk a little bit about model speed up and input parameter optimization to support field phenomics. When I was first asked to do this talk, I had not heard of phenomics before. So, and the example I'm going to give is, it has nothing to do, there's not a whole lot to do with crops in this simulation. It was mainly some tile drainage, atrazine application, and looking at concentrations. But we had a lot of parameters we had to adjust, and so we had to come up with an optimization system that was efficient and easy to do. And I think it has some application to the phenomics community where you're doing these millions of runs and need to do this inverse modeling or reverse modeling that we've heard about. And I have to acknowledge my co-authors, the people that really helped me on this, Randy Hunt near Madison, Wisconsin with USGS, and Tom Nolan in Reston, Virginia. They're the ones that really, I learned a lot from them on optimization of models using automatic systems to optimize the models. And then Lee Wong Ma at Fort Collins, Colorado, who's one of the lead developers in the Root Zone Water Quality Model. And so just the first thing, we've heard a lot about phenomics and modeling, and I just have a few bullets on how modeling and phenomics, some ways that modeling can be used in phenomics. And inverse modeling, of course, can help determine crop parameters. They should represent some biologically fundamental traits. And then they can, this inverse modeling can help disentangle some of the relationships between genetics and environment, as we've already heard. And I just have some information here, just a few papers out there, took some excerpts from that, from Jeff and some others, that we know this relationship between modeling and phenomics, there's definitely a place for modeling here. Okay, and now we get into this, the inverse modeling and trying to make that a more efficient process. Certainly the efficiency of inverse modeling and not in large scale modeling in general, it's a concern. As Kelly said, these agricultural systems models haven't been developed for efficient computing, and so it's definitely a concern. The run times, Kelly, even on the desktop, was saying that the DSAT or series maze model was, taking a few runs per second. Well, the model I use, it's you can do a run in several minutes, so you can't do these millions of computer runs. And we can see there's a lot of information in the literature recently over the last few years about multi-core computers, parallel and cluster computing that can help make this more efficient. I've got a few excerpts that I put here, and you can get speed ups of, on a multi-core computer, desktop computer, speed ups of 7 times all the way up to over 1,000 times or more from probably what Kelly was doing. And so the objective that I'm going to address, what I'm going to talk about, is evaluating the efficiency of a multi-core computer, and I'm going to do multi-objective calibration of RZWQM DSAT, DSAT being the crop model linked to RZWQM, and we're going to optimize that with PEST, which is the optimization system. And Kelly talked about equifinality or non-uniqueness of data sets. And multi-objective, the more observations you can get into your optimization, the less numbers of parameter sets that you get the final result is the same. So you want to look at a lot of different things. So Kelly's looking at crop type information before, but you also can have soil water information, tile drainage information, some things like this. And so the more data you can bring into your optimization, the less chance you have of this equifinality or getting several data sets, parameter sets, where you get the same result at the end, the same model output. And just a little disclaimer, certainly when it comes to phenomics, I'm a beginner, or high performance parallel computing, the same. I have an eight core computer desktop I've been working with rather than a supercomputer that's the fourth or seventh best in the world, so that it's a little easier to work with that in my lab. Now, the RZWQM DSAT model, it has lots of processes. It simulates lots of different things. We've got soil surface residue dynamics, tillage and other management practices are simulated by the model, soil, water, and soil carbon and nitrogen processes are simulated, subsurface drainage processes are simulated, and then it simulates the crop growth for lots of different crops. And so you've got all of these processes, and therefore you have a lot of uncertain parameters. Anyone that's taken just something as simple as a bulk density measurements in your plot, you may have a range of those numbers on one plot, or hydraulic conductivity, soil carbon, soil your initial soil nitrogen, soil nitrate at different depths. So there's lots of uncertain parameters, lots of uncertain inputs to put into the model. Okay, just a few words about PEST and how the PEST optimization system works. It uses the Gauss-Levenberg method of parameter estimation, and I'm going to keep this simple, just a few words on it. It basically, the way that PEST works to optimize the model, you've got some model output and you want to get the best set of parameters to achieve that model output, so you put your model output into PEST, you put the input parameter ranges that you want it to look for, and it will determine the best parameter values. The way it does that is the parameter set that you put in, let's say in our case, I think we had 26 parameters we adjusted, it has to run the model once for each one of those parameters that is adjusted, and then it just does a sensitivity analysis, and it has to get this so-called Jacobian matrix, which is the derivatives of each observation relative to each parameter. And so it can be seen how a very simple parallel computing can really speed this up, where you could, if you got 26 parameters that it's adjusting and getting that sensitivity and developing that Jacobian matrix, it can run it 26 times at once rather than running it 26 times one at a time. It can speed it up 26 times right there. Let's see here. So it gets this Jacobian matrix or this derivative matrix of each observation relative to each parameter, and then it tests several upgrades to the parameters and tries to minimize this objective function. And the objective function is just kind of a sum of squares of your measured values versus your simulated data, so that can be crop yield, might be some of your observations, or biomass, or plant height, etc. And so it gets this Jacobian matrix, and then it tests several upgrades of parameter groups to try to minimize this objective function. And that's about all I'll say about PEST, and it just keeps repeating this process until it gets the smallest objective function. So the nice thing about PEST is it's not a so-called global optimizer where it just gets the best set of values through the entire parameter space. It's kind of a local optimization system where it gets this gradient approach and tries to find the minimum within this your initial set of parameters. It finds the best set of parameters that's kind of close to that usually, but it may have to go through the whole parameter range of several parameters depending on how sensitive they are. And so it just repeats this over and over again until it gets the lowest objective function. Some things you can put the value range in for each parameter. So you know, hydraulic conductivity or something like that, you know what the values are that should be in the field. You can limit that range to a certain range of parameters. Another nice thing about PEST is it can do this multi-objective calibration where you can put lots of different observed data in there where that it's part of that objective function. It has a very flexible way to form your objective function. And I've done things as from atrazine or nitrate in soil and water to, you know, crop yield, biomass, runoff, soil water content, tile drainage, etc. And then there's several techniques in PEST to prevent overfit. You know, we've got lots of different parameters that we're adjusting, and you can overfit your data, and it's got lots of different tools and techniques to reduce that overfit, different forms of regularization and singular value decomposition. I won't talk about those much here. Okay, so how do you implement PEST? You have to set up, you know, PEST is just reading the input files to your model, and also then it has to read the output files to kind of minimize the subjective function. And so you have to set your PEST project up after you set your model project up. So you get your model set up, and then you have to set PEST up where it's reading the text files or the input files and adjusting those, and it can read the output files of the model. So you set that up with PEST, but then you want to do the parallel computing and have it run on your multi-core computer. It's really actually pretty simple to do that. You just have to open up a couple DOS windows and have a few commands in there, and it can run it on several, you know, on your multi-core computer. You have different nodes running with just a couple simple DOS commands. And I think in our case here, you've got your main PEST control file that has all of your PEST information in it, and then the so-called BayoPEST 64. It's the parallel PEST application. You just call that, and you have to tell your DOS window where your so-called the host name of the master is running, where the master being that's the doing all the PEST calculations. And you can actually do this rather than just on one multi-core computer. It kind of reads it from whatever network you're on, so you just identify where that computer is and where that so-called master is running, and you can open up as many of these DOS windows or nodes as you have available. At least I've not maxed it out yet in my simple system. Okay, a little bit about the experimental data. We are just going to talk about one plot. This is in northeastern Iowa, near Nashville, Iowa. There's 36 plots. These are about 1 acre. You've got a tile drain running through the middle, and we're collecting the tile drainage. We can test that for nitrate, atrazine, tile drainage amount, etc. And in Iowa, the soil is saturated in the spring, so there's tile drainage that can drain the soil. You've got some chemicals in there, and you want to, in a sustainable system, you want to reduce that nitrate and pesticides going out into the streams. In our case, we had 26 parameters we calibrated. We had soil parameters at 6 steps. We had pesticide parameters, degradation, and sorption, macroporosity parameters, also subsurface drainage parameters that we adjusted. In this current project, we did not adjust plant parameters. We didn't adjust carbon-nitrogen dynamics either, such as the coefficients for denitrification, et cetera. I've done this in others. So in this case, we only did the soil pesticide macroporosity drainage. That's 26 parameters. I've had other projects where I've had 50 or 60 parameters that I'm adjusting once you get into the nitrate and the plant parameters. So lots of parameters to adjust, and you need an automated system to do that. It's 6 years of data we had from Nashville, Iowa that we used. Atrazine was spring applied, two different rates at different times. The beginning, a higher rate, at the last few years, a lower rate. And then we calibrated pests on an 8-core computer. We limited the range of the parameters to measured and literature values. We had this multi-objective calibration where we had 374 observations, had atrazine mass and soil profile several times a year, atrazine concentrations at each depth several times a year, and then we had weekly atrazine concentration in drainage water and parts per billion and the drainage amount on a weekly basis. This is the main figure in the talk. If we calibrated, had this automatic pest system to calibrate the model or optimize the model on a single node, you know, one model run at a time, it would have taken 29 hours to do that. And then on our simple 8-core computer, if we put 13 nodes there or open 13 of those DOS windows and tell pest to, you know, use, you know, have 13 nodes that it's using to optimize, we can get down to about 5 hours or so, and that's 745 model runs that it did. And so you can see that, you know, you get down to about 5 hours versus 29 hours. You're not increasing it 13 times, and the reason being, as you add another node to your multi-core computer, the run time, each model run takes longer, where we go from about, you know, 2.5 minutes or so down here, a little less than 2.5 minutes, up to, you know, about 3 minutes and 20 seconds as we get 13 nodes. And actually, we can do a little further parallelization of the lambda search. That's, you know, the model does a sensitivity analysis, and then it after that it tries to find the lowest objective function, and that's the lambda search. Well, initially we did not do the lambda search in a parallel mode. It did that series, so it did the sensitivity analysis, and then it did, you know, one run, and then another run, and then another run to try to find that smallest, to do that lambda search. But we could paralyze that and we could speed it up a little bit more, so we got under 4 hours if we did that. So we go from about 29 hours down to a little less than 4 hours. And it might say, well, 29 hours, that doesn't sound like too much time in the time of a project, but at least in my experiences, you know, I'm calibrating many times. You calibrate the model and then you say, well, I want to change the model input a little bit. I find that there's some weather data, you know, some rainfalls that we're missing, so I have to find, you know, change the weather data around a little bit, or you want to add or remove parameters or observe data. You want to adjust that acceptable parameter range a little bit or change your observation weights around. That's always done because, you know, you let's say you've got crop yield and soil moisture. These are very different values, and you've got to weigh that so, you know, one set of values isn't, it's not taking over your objective function. You want all of your observations to be included in the objective function there. And so let's say you do this 100 times at 29 hours. That's 121 days of computing time. So speeding something like that up can be really important. And this is just a look at the results. We talked a lot about the computer speed, so what's it look like for our project? We've got atrazine concentration on the y-axis. We have the year, the time, the date on the x-axis, and the models, the black dotted line, it matched the observed data in tau drainage, the atrazine concentration in tau drainage fairly well. And when you look at atrazine transport, did a really nice job. And transport just being the atrazine concentration multiplied by the drainage amount. So the transport, the model was picking that up very well after we optimized it with those 26 parameters, adjusted those to get the best set of parameters. So just a quick summary, certainly the efficiency of agricultural modeling, it's a concern, and we need to speed that up. We calibrated RZWQM using PEST on this 8-core computer, had 26 parameters with 374 observations. The calibration took 29 hours with a single node, or a little less than 4 hours with 13 nodes. So we got a speed up of almost 8 times. Each model run was about 2.5 minutes with a single node, 3.3 minutes with 13 nodes, and we considered the calibration results acceptable. So that's it.
Thank you.